Just hold on for a while.
Great, okay. So today's show is going to be a little bit different from normal, not so much kind of question and answer, but just a bit more of an explanation for the malacha behind Molidin Melilus. So Molidin Melilus, the unraveling of grains, you know, you take it in the hand, you kind of unroll it, unravel the grain to get the seed. So basically, it just taking a step back, there's a general argument amongst the Rishonim, actually, about Molil Melilus, yeah, this whole thing on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And it comes from, the core of this argument actually comes from our Sugya, which is why I'm mentioning it, because I think it's quite interesting. And it finds its way all the way to Halacha. So basically, in summary, Rashi and Tosfos, so they hold that bottom line is that you can Molil Melilus, you can do this unraveling on Yom Tov, right? That's fine, yeah? But you can't do it on Shabbos. So Shabbos is going to be Asa, right? And Yom Tov is only going to, in fact, be Mutter with a Shinui. So Rashi, if you look at the Rashi on Yud Beis Amud Beis, so just kind of he gives a bit of background in terms of what's going on with its unraveling. The Rashi says, Molim Melilus, the Dash Kal Acha Yadhu, because it's the Malacha of Dash, you know, Malacha Disha, right? Kal Acha Yad, it's kind of an unusual way of doing it, a different way of doing it. Vafila b'Shabbos love d'oraisahu. Even on Shabbos, it's not d'oraisa el d'rabbanon, but it is a d'rabbanon. And then ubiyontuv lo gaza. So that's how it kind of works out. It's some form of disha, but kliachiyad. It would bring it down to being d'rabbanon on Shabbos, and it won't be permitted according to Rashi and Tosfos on Shabbos. But on yontuv lo gaza, it's going to end up being permitted. Now, where does this difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov come from? It actually comes from our sugya. So we might remember that originally we started off with a question about whether you can molil melilus, mafak and kitnius, yeah? And we said, yes, you can do that, yeah? But we brought a brisa, Bai brought a brisa. And the brisa says, hamolil melilus me'erev Shabbos, right, lemacha, right? You can do it from erev Shabbos to the next day, yeah? And then it carries on saying what you do after that, yeah? And then the next part says, Hamolim Melilus me'erev Yom Tov lemacha, and then it carries on talking about Menafer, yeah? And initially we wanted to say, make a dig. We said, well, both of them, it talks about, obviously, Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. So we want to say, well, wait a second, you said you could do it on Yom Tov, but it says me'erev Yom Tov. So that means, me'erev Yom Tov, yes, but Yom Tov, you can't do it. So we wanted to challenge, why was it we saying we could do this unraveling of the kernels on Yom Tov, yeah? Where seemingly we're saying only Erev Yom Tov. And the answer was, no, that Yom Tov is permitted as well. And why did it say Erev Yom Tov? Because it's stylistic, right? Because it was said Erev Shabbos. Mm-hmm. But what's the diuk? The diuk is that for sure on Shabbos, it would be a problem, right? Mm-hmm. That's why the whole diuk was it had to be Erev Shabbos. So that's really where Rashi and Tosfos end up. And then later on, it actually says, we'll get to this hopefully this week, yeah? On Yud Gimel, I won't read it all inside, but it happens to ask at the end of Yud Gimel, it's Ketzan Molel, how do you meant to do this Molel? How do you meant to do this process? And basically, the bottom line is you're meant to do it with a Shinui. So that's why it comes out, even on Yonta for Rashi and Tosfos, there's some kind of Shinui involved as well. Now, the other side of the Machlokas is basically almost all the other big Rishonim, yeah? The Rambam, the Rif, and I think the Rosh, the Rambam, they all say no, yeah? That you can even mow the Melilus on Shabbos, yeah? And in fact, later on when it asks how you do it with the Shinui, that's all talking about Shabbos, yeah? And this Gemara is going to be a bit difficult for them, but what they have on their side is there's a Gemara in Shabbos which basically almost explicitly says you can be mow the Melilus on Shabbos. So it's kind of one of those things where each side have to explain the Gemara of the other side. But that's basically where, so it, for the how it comes down in Halacha, because we go with the majority of the Rishonim, yeah? That basically even on Shabbos, you can actually unravel the grains, yeah, with a Shinui, yeah? Although the Ramah brings that some are Machmir, which basically is for Rashi and for Tosfos. But the main point of this Chabur really is to kind of take a bit of a step back and to ask, well, what is actually, the potential malacha involved with Molil Melilus in terms of Disha? What is Disha, right? And then how does it end up being that according, you know, that with, if it's Kalacha Yad, yeah, and maybe with a Shinui as well, that it then becomes permissible on Yom Tov? That's what we want to explore in this Chabura. So let's start off with what Disha, what Dash is, yeah? So we usually think of Dash in terms of, what's the most classic case we think of Dash is squeezing fruits, yeah? So Aishchita, which is actually comes from Mefarech. Mefarech is a tolder of dash, yeah? And we think of that, yeah, fine, you take whatever. You take a grape, you squeeze the grape to get your grape juice. That's Melacha Daraisa, yeah? But actually, you know, Disha really is any case, really, where you're taking the food, you know, the produce of the food, yeah, and you're taking it away from the things that it basically grows with, yeah? And that's kind of, in a sense, what you're doing also with, you know, you're taking the juice out from the grape or whatever. And that's what the issue is. But the reason why I think we'll all think, wait a sec, yeah, because we're all very used to, yeah, like, you know, taking out, you know, say the nuts, you know, taking off the shells of the nuts, and we know that's permissible, yeah. So we're all probably thinking, well, wait a sec, yeah, if you're telling me, right, that any time you're taking out the inside of the fruit from, you know, the stuff on you know, the around on the outside, yeah, that's disha. So why is it that, you know, that we're all used to kind of, you know, going and cracking our nuts on Shabbos and eating our nuts, yeah, what's going on here? So the classic explanation comes from in the Igle Tal, yeah? And basically what he explains is that when it comes to this idea of disha, yeah, of taking away the fruit from its surrounding parts that it grows with, yeah, that becomes a melacha, but you have to understand that's a melacha in terms of a certain context. What's the context? The context is the agricultural process in which this happens. So, you know, let's talk about the classic thing, yeah? So you've got your stalks of wheat growing there, right? And what you're going to do, yeah? You're going to cut down all the stalks of wheat, right? And then you pile them all up. So you now have all these stalks with the wheat and the kernels and all the stuff around it, yeah? And there's going to be one big pile, and then you're going to go and you get this animal that's going to trample on it. And that's the next part of the process. And through the trampling, it's going to separate the grain parts from all the other chaff and the stalks and everything else that comes around, yeah? And that is disha, right? And then obviously afterwards, basically, you then just kind of throw it in the air so that you kind of, you know, do zorah and you separate it. But that then becomes like, that takes you to the gemar melacha. That's kind of, you know, eventually you're left with a nice pile of these grains, yeah, which you smooth out. And we know that's also the gemar melacha for the other thing we look at in our sugya, which is talking about the issue of tevel, right? But the point is, that's gemar melacha, and that's significant in terms of Shabbos as well. That's a certain stage, agricultural stage, in processing the grain, yeah? So explains the Igle Tal, that is what disha is. Disha is always part of that agricultural process that leads to the gemar melacha. So the contrast, though, is, yeah, that certain types of produce, yeah, you basically don't do that separation of the growth parts at that stage. You end up taking it and selling it, and people will bring it home with parts of the thing around it which you'll end up removing just before you eat, yeah. So that part is nothing to do with disha. Disha is, it, although it looks similar in terms of you're moving, like, you know, the psoles or the outside parts, and then you're eating the inside parts, yeah? Like from nuts, yeah? But that's not done as part of that agricultural process of finishing the produce. So it's only the agricultural process of finishing the produce that counts formally as disha. So although it may look similar, the context has a huge difference. Okay, so then going back now, though, yeah, to our unraveling of the kernels, yeah? So that seemingly wheat, you could say, does look a lot more like disha, because again, that, you know, the wheat stuff, yeah, or, you know, maybe sometimes even kidneys, this stuff could well be done as part of the gemar melacha in the field. Happens to be that you're taking it back, you know, home, and, you know, you're going to do it kind of hand to mouth, so to speak, yeah. But certainly it's kind of, you know, it's a lot more similar. So why is it permitted, yeah? So Rashi says the reason why it's permitted, mola melilus, yeah, is because it's dash kilachiyad, yeah. The Rambam says slightly differently, but he says it's nearer kadash, which implies that it's not really dash. It just kind of looks a bit like it. Looks a bit similar. So let's talk a bit about then if it does seem to be, according to Rashi, basically this could be dash, right? So why is it permitted? Yeah, so we talk about kilachiyad, but we could ask, actually take a step back, maybe we could say, well, why do we need to come on to that, yeah? Because when, you know, most of us would have thought, wait a sec, yeah? We're talking about here being trying to permit something on Yom Tov in order for eating. So what would we think? Would we think, you know, it should just be permitted even if it's a classic Melacha Daraisa, because it's Serech Ochel Nefesh, right? So why are we coming on to Kalacha Yad, and then later on in the Gemara we're going to come on to a Shinui? What's this all about? So the answer, I think, is two potential answers, yeah? One is, yeah, and these are your sodas in terms of melachas on Yom Tov, yeah, for Ochel Nefesh. One is a yisod that actually came up, someone might have noticed it all the way back on Gimel, yeah, in this very long Tosfos. But he explains that Tosfos at the end of the Tosfos. He says not all malachas are permitted because of Ochel Nefesh on Yom Tov. Shock, shock, shock. Okay, it's only the malachas from Elisha, yeah, onwards, yeah. In terms of how we list the malachas, it goes all the way from the original start of what you do for getting to your bread at the end, yeah. But so Elisha, that point onwards, all those malachas, yeah, Elisha, and then baking and cooking, whatever, all that stuff is going to be permitted. But if you go earlier in the kind of the process, yeah, the malachas that are involved earlier in the process, they're not included in the things Ochel Nefesh permitted. That's one approach, yeah. Another possible approach, yeah, is that here it's not so simple because this kind of thing can be done before Yom Tov, yeah. And we're going to learn later on, yeah, that malachas, even Ochel Nefesh malachas, which permitted, yeah, it may not be for things that could have been done just as well, and you will end up with the same result if you did it beforehand. Yeah, so that's another reason why maybe it's not so simple here to permit it. Yeah, but sacha kol, yeah, we do say that as we said, it's disha kalacha yad. Yeah, why is it kalacha yad? Yeah, that I'm not 100% sure on, yeah, but I think probably it's to do with, well, one of maybe two things. One is because you're doing it by hand, yeah, in this way of unraveling it, yeah, whereas classically you'd kind of put it all together and trample on it, yeah, and also maybe just the fact that you're doing it kind of, maybe for kind of immediate use before you eat it, and you're doing it one by one rather than kind of by batch, yeah, that could also be why it's kalacha yad, yeah. But what actually comes out, which I find quite interesting, is, yeah, that Kalachiyad, only brings it down to a Durabonon. And as we've said, we haven't got our classic Ochel Nefesh to permit it. But what seems to be that, you say that it seems to be, though, from this Rashi, yeah, is that even where we don't have our classic Ochel Nefesh, yeah, there's still kind of an idea of wanting to permit things for food usages on Yom Tov. Which is why Rashi says that on Yom Tov, since it's only Durbanim because it's Kalachayad, we're not Gozer. So even though it may not be the classic full kind of Ochel Nefesh Heta, it still ends up being that
because it should be also on Shabbos, just as the same, you're saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, on Shabbos it's Durbanon.
No, yeah, I'm saying they didn't matter it on Yom Tov, but they didn't, right?
On Shabbos, so they didn't matter it on Shabbos,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But we do matter it on Yom Tov. So the reason why we didn't matter it on Shabbos is because it's Durbanon. Well, right. Here on Yom Tov, mm-hmm. Why are we muttering it? Because again, it is Ochel Nefesh. So it's not a classic Ochel Nefesh.
Right.
It's a thing which usually can mutter even derisive things. We've said why. Mm-hmm. But it could be still that we still want to permit eating things on Shabbos, on Yom Tov. So we'll be lenient, certain leniencies even in Durabanan kind of things. Yeah. But as we'll see, that seems to be combined later on with needing a shinui. Just a brief thing that Rashi there says, why he talks in terms of a shinu, of saying that a shinu is needed because of uvda dechol. So again, there's always kind of other concerns. We'll see that later. But I hope that's just a brief summary. And I just wanted to point out, just so you were halacha lemaisa, two cases potentially of disha that we should maybe be worried about. But I think it will be pretty unusual, yeah? Because again, we've said that it's pretty unusual to come across disha in practice, yeah? On either on Shabbos or Yom Tov, for that matter, yeah? But two things that are brought down in halacha, hopefully these won't come up very often, but just so you know, is that although you can obviously be cracking nuts completely fine, yeah, but if a nut comes in the green shell, which means, like, I don't know, I haven't really seen it very often, but there's, a lot of some nuts grow in a green kind of fleshy thing, and then they open up, they, as part of the processing, and then you've got the shell inside the green thing, yeah? So if you happen to bring that nut home and it's got its green casing around, mm-hmm. that would be a problem, yeah? Of opening up the green casing, because...
You get them in the UK, in the early ages, you might buy them at the whole nut's kind of like this big ounce of green.
Oh, interesting.
You might get a conch, and then inside, right. You then find the whole nut, and you find the whole...
The nut inside, yeah.
The nut shell, and then you find the shell.
So this is...
That would be like
brilliant.
Spiky, it's like green and spiky, very much
okay.
Like a conch.
So that's exactly what, so that kind of stuff, because again, going back to our principle before, because that stuff apparently normally is removed as part of the processing for the Gemar Malacha of the nut, yeah, to bring it to the marketplace. So if you happen to have it in your home before, you know, without that being done, you buying it at some exotic fruit shop, yeah, that would be a problem on Shabbos.
Right.
And the other thing would be dates, yeah, interestingly, yeah. So let's say you have, I'm so ignorant, I don't even know how they grow, but dates, I guess growth, they're kind of in some kind of, they're attached to some kind of date.
It's like a cluster, date cluster.
Yeah, yeah. So if you happen to, you know, again, find some exotic shop that you can buy like a whole date cluster and you take it home, beware, because taking those dates off, so even though we're used to taking grapes off, completely fine, yeah, off a cluster, but dates off a cluster will be a problem for the same reason, because that's part of the kind of agricultural processing. So anyway, that's the bottom line. That's very interesting. So bananas, actually, I haven't seen bananas that, although it seems to be most people permit it, I did happen to see there was an opinion Rabbi Yashav that if you have banana, yeah, in with big stalks, yeah, like he says, apparently Rabbi Yashav held that that is also a problem.
I went to Rabbeim's house once and he had like a branch of bananas and there was loads of it.
So I don't think that's so makubal, that, but
you don't really get those so often.
Summer anyway, like say a monkey comes in a shell and a banana. There are a few.